In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive.
Your lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this was inevitable. Biden conceded yesterday that his Build Back Better bill, the soft infrastructure, $1.75 trillion bill, is not going to get passed this year. He came out and said that. Sadly, he did it because he was talking to Manchin, trying to get him to move, and Manchin wouldn't move. And then you know what happened just now? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is running ads thanking Manchin for tanking the $1.75 trillion Build Back Better bill. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is doing that. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Manchin, they say he pushed back against Biden. I assume he was polite. But this is the President of the United States calling, asking you to vote for this. And he's going, well, I don't want the child tax credit, Joe, Biden. They're both Joe. So, Mr. President, I don't want, well, you know, the child tax credit just expired. They got the last check. It was going, it went to 30 more million people, and it was going for food, rent, diapers, and clothes for the kids. Get the kids out of poverty. Get the kids out of poverty. He didn't want it. What? What does he represent, Greenwich, Connecticut? Or he represents West Virginia, for Pete's sake. West Virginia. U.S. Chamber of Commerce running ads thanking Joe Manchin for sinking the $1.75 trillion Build Back Better bill. Poor Joe Biden goes, well, I have to say it's not going to get passed this year. Go to the lines. Gary Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Matt. Thank you very much for the information you provide. I'm always in awe of your recollection and portrayal of the way things are. I just wanted to add to your note a few minutes ago. My experience was that I went back to help out with door-to-door for a state assembly campaign back in, I'd say, 11 or 13 years ago or so for a candidate, Mark Westfall, who was, I think, the Fox Valley, or at least Appleton, Nina Menasha, papermakers union rep. And he was a first-time candidate running against an incumbent. It seemed like an impossibility, especially since there were almost no signs that I saw in front of people's homes. I was given an area in the north end of Nina on the island to go to, and they were mostly small homes, modestly kept homes and so on. And my instructions were to go to the known Democratic voters' homes in particular, and I had a list of them. Instead, I went to every house that looked like somebody cared for it, or in the case where somebody was home, I'd go to that house and knock on the door and have a brief conversation with the folks, telling them what I was doing. And I had people thanking me, and two people said they had never talked to anybody before about this. Not just that candidate, but door-to-door handles. It was surprising to me. Westfall got 45% of the vote that year. He was close, very close, I thought, for a first-time candidate. But it just underscored the problem that the state Dems had with approaching new people in some of these areas. And I thank you for your mentioning of that.
Yeah, Gary, listen, thank you very much for sharing that anecdote from your personal experience. I've had similar experiences, and I've also done doors and gone around the state for different candidates. And what I find is, you know, we're all Americans, and some people, you know, there is a thing called GOTV. So if you're doing this, let's say, 2 weeks before the election, or the week before the election, or the weekend before the election, then it makes sense to just, you want to get out your vote. And so at least you want to, you can hit more doors if you just go to Democrats whom you know are Democrats, get them to vote. I understand that. But when people are doing doors, that's not just GOTV, get out the vote. People are doing doors, persuasion doors and that kind of thing. It is absolutely, I think, wrong to simply say, we're just going to preach to our own choir. And that's the difference. And so, you know, I've done both. I've done a GOTV, but I've also done it in advance. and especially for a first-time candidate. And that area, as you say, is tough. And 45%, I'm sure, was far higher percentage than any Democrat had gotten before then, at least up till then. So I want to build on what Gary just said for everybody. And that is that messaging matters, enthusiasm matters, firmness of speech matter, people getting up. Let's start acting like we won the last election, because we did win the last election. And all this criminality, these cyber ninja audits, all of this stuff about throwing votes out, putting the mayor of Green Bay and Madison in jail, putting five of the six election commissioners in jail, but not the one that was a fake Trump elector. All of this is criminal behavior. All of this is itself criminal behavior. These people are corrupt. They are corrupting our democracy. This is Wisconsin. This isn't Texas. This isn't Louisiana. This is the state of fighting Bob La Follette, who stood up for corruption, against corruption, stood up for fighting corruption, starting in the 1880s, when he was the DA of Dane County, and he couldn't be bought. And the Republican Party's on the take. Trump is on the take from the Russians. Trump has betrayed us to Putin. He's on the take. The Republican Party is morphing into a fascist party. I don't say that lightly. That term is thrown around a lot. You get a 16-year-old girl who's grounded because she missed curfew. She goes, "My father's such a fascist, he won't give me the car." Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about going back to the 1920s. We are talking about people who are trying to subvert and pervert the elections in six states: Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona going forward, throwing out Democratic votes, making it harder for people to vote, putting in broken down voting machines in minority areas, restricting, in some cases, forbidding absentee voting, getting rid of drop boxes, doing everything we can, putting people in jail in Texas for voting, two people, one in prison and one being charged criminally, one in prison because he was on probation for burglary, or parole rather, and he could vote there when the parole was over. His parole was over June 1, and he voted in April election because they said he could, and now he's spending 5 years in jail. That's Texas. That should not be permitted. Merrick Garland should have stepped in on that. Merrick Garland should have stepped in on that, and he did not. There's another woman down there. They keep shifting the voting polls, and she goes to the wrong place to vote. She casts the vote. She's entitled to vote. She's being criminally charged. She's being criminally charged. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
So very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525.